Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Computers, 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 they're everywhere. You can't live with them. You can't live without them. Everything we do requires a computer, and yet sometimes they can be a real pain in the neck. All right, there's my rant for today. Well, we're going to talk computers on the program, and someone who has a much more measured outlook on the whole thing is Tony Yang. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at the State University of New York at Albany. He began his company as a hobby in college, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony has been managing networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one. And they range from a few computers to many hundreds. I think we're somewhere in between here at WAMC. Tony Yang, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Always good to be here.
Nice to have you here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. It's wamc.org/voxpop. Or you can also, make a pledge in the lockbox and shorten the fun drive. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Or tweet us your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Why, you can even email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. What's new, Tony Yang?
Well, Windows 10 is new.
That is good.
It's been out there for a little while now.
And funny you should mention Windows 10, because we got an email from Chris in Cornwall about 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the show started, who says, I have a Dell laptop from 2002 that runs Windows XP. Is it worth it? Is it worth my while to buy Windows 10 for this computer, or should I just buy a new laptop? The new Dell laptops without touchscreen come loaded with Windows 8 and a free download of Windows 10. Should I go with that or wait until it comes loaded directly with Windows 10? And that's from Chris in Cornwall.
Well, XP computers are generally, I would say, at least 7-8 years old.
Well, his is from 2002.
So, yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend you buying Windows 10 and upgrading the laptop. Just purchase a new laptop with either Windows 8 or Windows 10 preloaded.
Yeah.
The upgrade process from Windows 8 to 10 is pretty simple and it's straightforward. So if you, whatever is the best deal that you can get, I will pick that up and just do the upgrade online.
So the Windows XP machines, and I had one up until last year, and then I finally bought one that had Windows 8 and then had the free download of Windows 10, which I love, by the way. I love Windows 10 a lot more than Windows 8.
It is a good system.
But the XP machines, even if you've done your bit, you bought a fast one when you bought it, and you've upgraded the RAM to the max, they're not going to handle
the
operating systems today.
The XP machines are generally dual-core machines, and you really want to get a quad-core machine these days. So we very, very rarely recommend software upgrades from XP to Windows 8 or Windows 10.
Mm.
The best path would be to pick up a new machine and go from there.
Say you did want to upgrade an old XP machine. I still have my XP desktop machine just sitting, not being used. Say I wanted to wipe that. I think it's a Pentium 4 three gig machine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Single core. I have as much RAM as I can get in the thing. Is there a sort of an older version of Windows that is beyond XP that you could upgrade to?
Windows 7 would be a good choice.
You think it would run on that?
Windows 7 is going to run a lot better than Windows 10 on the older machine.
Yeah.
It demands less resources on the machine itself, and you most likely are going to pick up drivers that you need for the various devices on your computer on Windows 7 versus Windows 10.
All right, let's go to the phones. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers today. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Catherine in Stone Ridge. Catherine, you're first today.
Hi. I would just like, I'm pretty familiar with desktops and laptops. I've been around them for a long time. And I'm concerned about security on smartphones and tablets. I don't understand what different things you have to worry about when you put security. Like, I just upgraded from a 3G phone to a smartphone several months ago. I've had my phone numbers in them for a long time. I don't want them accessible, now that I have an internet-capable phone. And I'm concerned about the tablet, too. Can you address what you have to think about for security and firewalls and viruses and all that other good stuff?
Okay, that's a good question, actually, because lots of these devices now are out there. Fortunately, the hacking activities and virus infections on the phones and on tablets are not that rampant out there at this point.
Yeah, but it will grow.
It will grow. The advantage that you have by using a phone is that your network that you run on has some pre-built-in security features. So they're not going to allow a huge virus to get through on their network where it jams up, for example, on Verizon's network. They have security measures in place so that your phones don't get infected and takes down their entire wireless.
What about Wi-Fi when you're using your phone on Wi-Fi?
When you're using your phone on Wi-Fi, the virus infections out there for tablets are fairly non-existent at this point. When it gets to a point where it becomes a big issue, you're going to see more softwares out there that can counterattack that.
Because I have actually looked for my phone as well, and you really can't find a lot.
No, especially on these Android and iOS, because they are really tightened up as an OS, it isn't easy to write a virus software for the devices comparing to Windows, for example. Mm. These devices are streamlined. They only do certain things very, very specifically. So that's why the activities out there that can cause problems hasn't been that big of a problem. But it will get there, and you're going to see more software out there that can take care of that. As of right now, you can purchase various different protection softwares out there from larger companies like Trend Micro and Symantec. They have them. I wouldn't at this point recommend that you go out there and purchase it because it's not a huge problem at this point. When it gets to that point, we will make an official recommendation to our clients.
And by then, it'll be too late. So, Catherine, thanks a lot. You got us started in a good direction. I appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551, the number. Tony Yang is our guest today. We talk computers from time to time on this program with Tony. Let's go to David in Patterson. David.
Thank you very much. I have two simple questions. I hope they're simple. Does Mr. Yang know any way in which I can... I'm now running Windows 8.1, a new machine. I had some programs that ran under Windows 95 on an old machine which died. Is there any way I can run them on a newer machine?
The answer to that is yes. You have several options out there that can do that for you.
Okay.
There is what's called a virtual environment.
Okay.
That you can use to run multiple systems on a single computer. So on Windows 8 that you have currently, you can actually download a piece of software. It's called VirtualBox. It's free.
VirtualBox.
Okay. So you can install this program, and right. What it will allow you to do is it will allow you to install additional operating systems within Windows 8 itself. So you can put Windows 95, Windows 7, Windows 10, if you like, and even Mac operating systems.
Wow, how about that?
What about Windows 75? I mean, Windows 95, it'll run?
It will run Windows 95. So
if I have something like Maple 4, which I used to load under Windows 95, I can run that?
Yep. So what you do is you get VirtualBox, and then you install Windows 95 on it.
Okay.
As far as Windows 95 itself is concerned, it doesn't see that it's a virtual machine. It thinks that it's installed on a full computer. So you can put any computer on there, any software on there.
Okay. One other question: Microsoft used to ship BASIC and QBASIC, which no longer runs on these systems. Is there any way I can run that?
As long as you install the right OS under VirtualBox, you can run any of the software developments.
Okay. What would I have to install?
The Windows 98 might be the best choice for that, I think.
Okay.
That was a decent one. I remember. I liked Windows 98.
98 was a good operating system. Yeah. They seem to skip a couple of generations and then they come up with a
good
product.
Hit, miss. All right, David, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Quickly, before we go to the break, Anita wants to know what to do with an old eMac. Throw it in the pond. No, don't do that.
EMac. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know what to do with it?
I don't know what to do with it.
Can you turn it into a planter or something? I don't know. Well, that's a good question, Anita. Sorry, we don't have a good answer for you.
Yeah. I don't know what you can do with that to Emacs. It's probably time to get to retire it.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back with Tony Yang.
Support for WAMT comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrated veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy. Comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Old Castle Theater Company, downtown Bennington, Vermont. Presenting The Lion in Winter by James Goldman. Performances by Nigel Gore and Elizabeth Aspenleader, September 25th through October 11th. OldCastleTheater.org. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York. Providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
Well, I alluded to this earlier, the WAMC lockbox wide open at WAMC.org. Make your pledge now. We'll have the fund drive October 5th. Our goal is to shorten the drive. Every dollar raised between now and the beginning of the drive counts on minute one, and I think we're about $105,000 now. We'd love to get it up there to $200,000-$300,000. We'll really shorten the drive. WAMC.org is the web address. Just click on the lockbox. It's Vox Pop. It is Computer Day on the show today. Tony Yang is our guest. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to the button doesn't work. New studio. Buttons don't work. Mike in Kingston, are you there?
Hey, yes, still here.
You're on.
All right. So I have a Lenovo Y70. I love it. It's an amazing computer. I heard you guys talking about Windows 10, and you really preferred it to 8. And I got the free upgrade, as I've had this computer for a little while, did the upgrade, and it killed my computer.
Oh,
I
boy.
Mean, really, like, I lost all my... I'm a music producer, so, you know, performance is big to me, really big. And the whole thing, you know, people say 8.1 is bloated and this and that 10 should be better. So I thought, all right, I'll give it a try. I took my free upgrade. Luckily, I backed everything up first because, seriously, it fell apart. Everything fell apart. Hmm. I actually ended up having to wipe my entire computer, go back to 8.1 and start from scratch. So I'm really curious as to why that might have happened to me and, like, just not sure what to make of that because people seem to like 10, and you know, I would like to use 10 if possible, but I'm scared that'll happen again.
Yeah, Mike, I'm sorry to hear that. Most upgrades go pretty smoothly, but you know, these kind of problems do happen. Most of the time it is because not that this is, you know, the problem in your particular case, but most of the time it is because of additional software that were installed on top of the OS.
So more likely a compatibility issue with the programs that I use in my music production than the OS itself.
Yes, that is most likely the cause. Now, you also want to make sure that you check with Lenovo to ensure that all of their hardware that's on that computer is compatible with Windows 7, which I can only assume that it is because that's a fairly new machine.
Windows 7 or Windows 10?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Windows 10.
Windows 10, yeah.
It's a relatively new machine. I mean, I only bought it in the last year, so it's definitely, you know, 16 gigs of RAM, quad-core processor, all of the necessary bare minimum stuff that you want to have. So I was surprised by that myself, honestly.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I feel your pain because I write and record music for fun at home, and I use this program called Samplitude. And,
okay.
And Samplitude worked great on Windows. I had it originally on my XP machine, worked fine. When I upgraded to the machine to Windows 8 machine, worked fine. And then I did the automatic Windows 10, and the program no longer works. So I got all these files, and now I got to find either I got to buy the program again or figure out how to get it to work.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great thing that you pointed out, both of you, because before you jump the gun on upgrading Windows 8 to 10, you want to make sure that all the softwares that you run on that system can run on Windows 10. And most will. But it isn't 100%.
No, it's
especially
not.
When you know, guys definitely. Like you who do music, very industry specific things, that takes even more caring to ensure that that the software is compatible with the new OS.
And that's the only program. I got SoundForge and Sony Vegas, and they all work just fine. It's just this one program.
Right, exactly. So you know, I ended up having to do a full wipe, and luckily, I guess, you know, the moral of the story, back up everything always, especially if you are in that kind of industry, because I still lost a fair bit of stuff that I didn't think I would lose, and it's an unfortunate, you know, situation when that happens.
Yeah, Mike, here's what I would recommend. Put Windows 8.1 on there. Before you put any other software on that computer, do the upgrade.
Ah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, do the upgrade fresh.
Do the upgrade first, and then put your software on it afterwards.
Right. Okay.
Mike, good luck, man. Thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's see. It looks like a 2. Let's go to line 2. Frank in Albany, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was concerned with all this nonsense about people taking over your computer, holding it for ransom. And so I went out and got my book from Western Digital. And in the process of setting it up, the guy helped me walk it through. I've got an XP, and he recommended that there be a constant update of the material into the my book. And then I got thinking, if somebody takes over the computer, does that also mean that they take over my book and I'm going to lose the updates that I've got there?
Right. The here's what I usually recommend folks to do out there. Get an online storage service. There are free ones out there. Google Drive, for example. Amazon also has a service out there. Box.net has one. What they do for you is they will store all of your information online, and they create multiple versions of your software. So in case you lose, let's say you make a modification to one of your files and you lose that, or you make a mistake, this will allow you to roll back to the previous many, many versions of it.
Mm.
So definitely sign up for a service like that if you have those concerns about losing your files. Sign up for a service like that, and then you can rest easy.
Well, no, I've already got this My Book, which apparently allows you to make multiple copies, but as I said, the thought was to protect it from possible takeover, but then the gentleman that was assisting me in applying it said it should be recommended that it be a constant update.
A custom update of the firmware on a device, on a MacBook device?
From my computer to the MyBook device.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's what you're referring to. The firmwares from MyBook, they probably have updates once every few months, maybe a couple of months at this point. Those are safe to install. Although I don't see the correlation between that and your computer getting infected with a ransomware.
Well, I think he's afraid of losing his access to his MyBook stuff. Isn't that what?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Losing access to.
So, in other words, the ransom takes over the computer. Does that, in fact, affect his MyBook?
Yes. Okay. So, to that, the answer to that question is yes. The ransomwares will actually infect your entire system. So whatever devices you have attached to your system that contains files will get infected as well. I am not aware of my book having a specific system that counterattacks that. If there is, then it'll be my mistake. But I am not aware that it's got a built-in security system against
ransomware. Well, that's a scary problem.
It is. And one of our clients, who I should not name, had that problem. They were infected with a ransomware, and these people demanded, I believe, if I recall this correctly, $50,000 to release the locks on it. Fortunately, we ended up not paying them, but we had a backup, and we were able to restore it.
Yeah.
From the backup.
So does the FBI get involved at that point?
I don't think in this particular case that they did, but this is, it is a federal offense to be hacking into people's systems and infecting and especially demanding money.
Yeah. Frank, thanks for scaring the daylights out of me. Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Mario in Albany, you're on. Hello. Mario.
Hi, I'm just turning off the radio. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're good. It's all set.
Okay, so my question, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about my Windows PC, and I have a fast processor, good amount of memory, but my speed rating is low, and when I look at the detail, it's because of the hard drive. The hard drive rating, I guess, is only 2.5. So I'm wondering about a recommendation for a, not real expensive, good speed hard drive.
Well, you're going to say solid state, aren't you?
Solid state.
Oh, man.
Solid state all the way. Mario, the most computers have traditionally come with a mechanical drive, and they only spin at a certain rate. There's a platter in it that spins at 5,000 or 7,000 rounds per minute. So that's the thing that causes most computers to slow down. That's the slowest part of the entire computer. So if you're looking to upgrade, get a SSD drive. In fact, this morning I was looking for one for myself. I saw a 250 gig SSD drive for $69.
Yeah, prices are really coming down.
I mean, so if you got a mechanical drive, get one of those and put them in. You're going to notice that your computer is going to run 4 to 5 times faster.
Now, will they slot right in where the old ones were, the mechanical drives?
If you have a, SSD drives are 2.5 inch, they will fit on most laptops, 95% of the laptops, and all desktops. That is the simplest and the best upgrade that you can do for your computer.
Now, however, and can you hang on a minute here, Mario?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to ask about prices.
Okay, so the prices are coming down. Tony said he saw 250 gig for in the neighborhood of $70. However, I got to say, Tony, speaking in the newsroom this week with one of my colleagues who has a solid state hard drive, and he has had all kinds of. I guess he's got his operating system on it on one of his machines.
Yep.
There's trouble with it, and he's got all kinds of trouble. When it's a hard drive, there are mechanical parts that you can sort of, if you had to, fix them. What happens when one goes south?
So there is a weakness to SSD drives. They are rated for a certain amount of writes that you can do. Read is basically unlimited, but you can only write up to a certain amount. What it does is erases the old data on it and puts in a new one. Most drives are rated somewhere between 100,000 to 1,000,000 writes, which is good enough for most use. So it does have a weakness when it comes to that. The recovery process on mechanical drives is probably a little simpler than an SSD drive. So again, Backup.
Yeah.
Make sure you back up your drives just in case you have a problem.
Well, and I'll let you go. Sorry to keep you on the phone, Mario, but in the average home user's environment, how long can you expect to get out of an SSD drive?
Easily 5 to 10 years.
Okay. All right. Mario, thanks a lot for the call. Does that answer your question?
Well, I was going to ask, because my current C drive is 1 terabyte, So this being only 250 gig would not be enough room for my current, you know, my documents. And I'm currently using over 80% of that 1 terabyte on my C drive. Do you know if I can, if it's fairly easy to install the operating system onto the new solid state drive and still have my keep my current drive, my current mechanical drive, and point my documents, you know, keep my documents on the current mechanical drive?
Yep, and that's exactly what I will recommend.
Okay.
That you use the SSD drive for your operating system and some of the commonly used software that you have, because that will speed it all up.
Yeah.
But for main storage, you may want to consider putting that on your mechanical drive.
Okay.
So that's a very, very good point.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. And Tony Yang is our guest. Let's go over to Bruce in Chatham. Bruce.
Yes.
You're on. You got to turn your radio down a little bit, okay, Bruce?
Yep, I'll get out of
here. Okay, I'll wait. Okay. You're on.
How's that?
Okay. Hello? All right.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I got a telephone call, a strong Indian accent, and they said, your computer is about to shut down. And we will tell you exactly what steps to take to prevent that from happening. At which point, I hung up on them. And the next day, I couldn't open my computer.
Wow.
And I took it to a local computer pay place, and they spent a day with it, and for $200, they got it working again.
Huh.
What can be done to stop that from happening?
Yikes. Have you ever heard of anything like that, where you get a call and your computer's about to shut down, Tony?
No, I've
heard of ransoming computers. Yes, I have heard of that.
No, but I'm asking Tony, if this sort of thing where you get a call before it happens.
That is very unusual where you get a call. The common thing is a pop-up on your screen that says you have to give us this amount of money to keep your computer working, which I, by the way, never recommend you do.
Okay.
But that is a very unusual case where they got your phone number somehow and was able to call you. That's
I would call the FBI, man. I would call the FBI on that one.
Yeah, and you did the right thing by just turning it off and have a professional handle it for you. It sounds to me like if it was easily fixable within a couple of hours that you spent a couple of $100, that might have been just a virus infection on your computer.
That would be an extraordinary coincidence.
Yeah, it baffles me how they were able to get your phone number and call you.
This is one I have not heard of.
No.
And it's frightening.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, that's a tough one. So it's all fixed now and everything's clean?
It's fixed now and everything's clean. Yeah.
Bruce, the best thing you can do is keep your virus definitions updated. Do it daily.
I do it. You know, several times a week.
Yep. That's a good practice. And always, never click on anything on your computer that you are not absolutely sure is legit.
I haven't downloaded any new programs or any apps or anything.
Yeah,
must have come in via email, you think?
Email might have been. That's strange, Bruce. I'm not sure what to tell you, but that is a strange case.
Yeah, I mean, wow. So, thanks for calling in. I guess one thing that I always like to do is keep my email preview off. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it's not automatically executing anything in that email.
Yep. Yep,
and
the good email programs will actually not execute any of the contents in it, but just give you a quick preview of the email, and that's a good practice too, Ray. That you're doing is not to have the preview turn on at all.
Yeah, and by default, sometimes depending on which system you're using, it's on.
That's right.
You have to turn it off.
Yeah.
Tony Yang is our guest. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Bill in Chestertown. Bill, you got about a minute here before the break.
Okay, a quick question. I have a Toshiba laptop, my son, that I got for my son last Christmas, and it went dimmed. The screen dimmed on me, and we cannot seem to get it brightened back up.
Huh. Have you tried resetting the the brightness settings under Windows. I'm assuming this is a Windows machine. Yeah,
it's it is Toshiba. A Windows machine. Yeah, I did, and then nothing happens. You can reset it, and then it just, you know, you can move the thing in one particular program where it looks like you're going to brighten it, and then it goes back to the same dimness it was, and nothing happens.
I would plug it into another device. If it's got a cable hookup or an HDMI, try something else and see, because it could be your video card or it could be the actual lamp in the screen.
I was just going to say, you know, the if you have, you've tried plugging into the wall outlet, having a direct cable connection, and see if it gets brighter or not, right?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, people don't do that, because when you run on battery, you will notice on your laptop, it never gets as bright as when you plug it in. That's just the built-in function. So if that's the case, then the cathode ray production lamp that's on your LCD screen is probably damaged one way or another. So just, you know, if that's the case, then you're going to have to replace that LCD screen on there.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Tony Yang is our guest. It's The Computer Show. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Pave tile, wood, and stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online. PAVETile.com. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment. Berkshire.coop. Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park, fishing on their 44 lakes, camping, hiking, biking, boating, craft fair weekends, and autumn events. 44 lakes, 44 choices, 44lakes.com. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, presenting their 14th annual Landscapes for Land's Sake art exhibit, October 10th through October 12th. Opening reception, October 10th, noon to 5 p.m., to benefit local farmland protection. agstewardship.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Computers Today with Tony Yang. Ray Graff here. And Tony, before we get back to the phones, let's take care of an email or two. This one is from Ryan, who says, hello. He starts out by saying hello.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan. I'm in the market for a new laptop. I'm going to school and will be taking many media editing courses, video, audio, web pages, etc. over the next few years. Aside from high amounts of RAM, a multi-core processor, and a large solid-state hard drive, what else should I consider? Are any brands better than others when it comes to laptops? And that's from Ryan.
So when it comes to high-performance laptop, the HP Envy is a good brand. They tend to be produce higher-end laptops where the components in it are above, let's say, standard industry grade. There are a few vendors out there that will customize the laptops for you, but they're rare these days. So I would I would check if that suits your taste.
All right, this was from Jamie, who says, my HP Pavilion DV7 went to sleep, and when I tried to wake it up, the power button and keyboard lights up and shuts off before engaging any drive. I have disconnected everything, battery removal, RAM removal, and reinstall, all to no avail. Have you heard of this happening running Windows 7? Sounds like power supply.
Yeah, that could be a power supply problem. I always, when a machine doesn't turn on completely, I always recommend putting the power and just pressing the power button a few times, because that completely clears all the residual electricity that's
still
in the capacitors.
Yeah.
And that none of those basic steps are working, I would check on the power supply, and the next thing would be the motherboard. which can get, you know, that's going to get a bit complicated.
I had an old computer that the power supply went, and I had that exact same issue. And it, yeah. There were times when I couldn't start it, and then it would work, and then every fifth time it wouldn't start, and finally it just was dead. But the good news is it's a very easy fix. You
that's
can do
right.
it yourself.
So the best hope is that it's the power supply, and that's a fairly easy fix.
However, be careful when you're in there, because there are capacitors that hold voltage. Don't get zapped.
That's right.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Bill in Chestertown. Bill. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
I am Mariana.
Well, it says Bill. Can we call you Bill anyway? You're on, Mariana.
Hey, sure.
Go
whatever.
Ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I had a similar thing that the previous couple of previous callers I had, Bruce had. I had, and it also happened recently, someone with a Indian accent, East Indian accent called, and I hung up on him. And luckily, I didn't have what he said happen to him. But this happened to me like when I first got computers, and I actually lost $300 because I was stupid and naive and didn't know any better. You know, over 10 years ago now about computers, and I lost money. You know,
really?
Believing them, yes. Yes.
So this actually happened. This new sort of method has happened to you.
Yes.
Whoosh.
Yeah, it happened to me, and I actually lost money because I bought into it. But I never. I mean, knocking on wood here, I so far haven't had my computer go like he did.
You know, maybe what you say, Mariana, and we kind of jokingly said this to our caller who brought this up. Maybe his computer going bad was a mere coincidence. I mean, it. It's not
right.
likely, but it's possible.
It is
right.
possible, yeah. I got to tell you, I don't hear about these kind of cases very often. I don't think we have ever come across a customer that's told us the same story. So I'm a little baffled. Absolutely. Hanging up on them was probably the best thing to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I won't ever talk to them again, ever. I will only go to local people or somebody that I know who's in ITS locally or something.
No. Yeah.
Yep.
I've learned my lesson the hard way, but I learned it. But I just wanted to comment, yes, this has happened. It happened to me, like, I would say almost 10 years ago.
Yikes.
Wow. I'm going to look into that, Ray.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got two callers now that's reporting the same thing. We'll find out what it is and hopefully give you guys the information next time we get on the air.
Yeah, thanks
Ray,
a lot.
Ray, were you really serious about, you know, contacting the FBI?
Isn't that a federal crime?
It is. I would encourage it, actually.
I mean, the worst they can do is say, hey, listen, we don't cover this stuff.
Okay.
Don't tell them you heard it from me. But if somebody did that to me, I would be on the phone to them in a heartbeat. And, again, I have no experience with this, but they might say, well, we don't cover that stuff. You go somewhere
right.
else. But
yeah, about the only thing that I know that's, you know, maybe close to this situation is if your phone gets hacked. If your phone gets hacked, then calling your phone will make sense because they got that information on your phone already. They know what your number it is.
Right.
But on a computer, unless you have that phone information on a computer somewhere stored and they can see it, I can't easily make a correlation on how this can, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony, why don't you look into this, and next time you're on, we'll maybe have a follow-up. Mariana,
yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to John in Pine Bush. John.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to add a little bit more to the virus situation.
Okay.
I have many years of experience in removing virus. The worst variation of what you're describing is something called the crypto wall virus.
Yep.
What that does is it encrypts all of your important files so that you can't open them without a password.
Right.
And then you get a message saying, pay us $500 and we'll give you the password. What it actually does is it deletes all your files. It makes a copy, encrypts them, and then deletes your original files. So if that happens to you, what you need to do is not do anything to the computer, and you need to use a program to go back to restore your deleted files. So it's really important you do it. That's the first thing you need to do. Because the minute you start doing things to the computer, it starts removing things from the deleted file space. So you got to be really, it's real important to do that. The other thing is the original caller mentioned that he's using Windows XP. Windows XP is extremely vulnerable to the CryptoWall virus. So the first thing he needs to do is to remove those vulnerabilities. So if he looks up and Google vulnerabilities, Windows XP, and CryptoWall, there's many descriptions on what exact changes he needs to make to XP.
Okay. Well, thanks.
The other viruses that you're describing now, there's many different variations of the ransomware virus. And the one you're describing now, I've had at least 24 people.
Really?
Have exactly the same thing. I got a hold of the FBI, and apparently they're overwhelmed. There are thousands of people every day that are having the same thing happen. So the biggest thing you need to do is, number one, have really good antivirus software. And just having one isn't good enough. I always recommend more than one. Usually I add a program called Malwarebytes.
Yep. That's a good one to have, and it's free.
We recommend that quite a bit, actually.
But don't use the free one. The free one doesn't help you. You need to pay for it.
So, in other words, you want the one that has the constant real-time scanning?
Exactly. And what it does, it's amazing. You can watch it. It must catch a dozen viruses a day.
Interesting. Hey, John, we got to move on, but thank you very much. Very interesting call. Tony, when you run multiple real-time scanning virus programs, doesn't that sometimes cause an issue with the operation of your computer?
It does. I think, you know, Malwarebytes is pretty good running in conjunction with another virus software. We haven't really seen too many issues with that yet. And John, you just say that those are good advices, and thanks for calling in and letting our listeners know that.
So you would then be all right with having two good programs running real-time scans?
Yeah, I mean, typically most of our client desktops have a major virus scanning software like Symantec or Trend Micro, one of those flavors, and then they'll have Malwarebytes on it. When we see issues arising, then we attack them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fairly safe to do.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Rick in Rotterdam. Rick, you're on.
Hi. I had a problem here a couple weeks ago at home. I turned my computer on early in the morning. I just happened to be home from work that day, and my telephone rang while I was on my computer, and the pointer on my screen was moving back and forth. And it was a gentleman that says to me that he worked for Microsoft and that he could fix my computer. He gave me my IP address, and he wanted me to send him information to get my banking account for $350, and he would fix it.
Wow.
And the guy still, he's been, a week ago, he was still calling my house. The number's blocked. I shut the computer off, and I called my local computer guy. When he explained to me, he says, listen, I work for Bill Gates. I work for Microsoft and all kinds of things. And when I called the computer man that I know of, he says, listen, Microsoft doesn't call anybody ever. And don't ever send anybody money like that. But the pointer on my screen was moving around, and he gave me my IP address, and he says, I want to tell you, your computer's been infected, and I can fix it.
Right.
And he had an Indian accent, and I was just, you're like scared. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I mean, I really don't have anything on the computer but some pictures, but still, I mean, it's ridiculous.
This must be going on a lot on the home-based computers, and unfortunately, we're mostly on the commercial side of things. You know what you did was exactly what you should be doing, which is not to give them anything.
Right.
The phone number part I can't quite figure out yet. I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of information on that, but the way that they get you for the money is a very, very typical way that these ransomwares work. I mean, they get into your computer and, scare you to death.
Yeah.
Unless you pay this amount of money, the best thing to do is just turn it off and have somebody scan it for you and get that cleared out.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Over to Rebecca in Highland. Rebecca, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Yesterday, I broke down and loaded Windows 10 onto my laptop. I'm not sure whether I should have done that. But they were persistent, and I figured, well, maybe they'll stop supporting whatever I have. So, and now I can't open Word documents, and my screen is dim, and I can't seem to make it any brighter. And I wonder, should I not have downloaded it, and is there any way to go back, and is there any way to fix what's going on?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the screen dimming, I'm not sure what the result of that might be, but the issue that you have with upgrading is it from Windows 7 or Windows 8?
Seven.
I think typical users will probably notice more problems upgrading from 7 to 10 versus 8.1 to 10, because there are more similarities between the 8 and 10 OS. You can get back to your old operating system, Windows 7, which we still recommend, by the way, most of the time. If you can locate a restore disk, back up your data first, and then you can always use the manufacturer's disk to back it up. There's also restore points that these upgrade processes will put in place for you. If you did one of those, that would help you to get the system back to where it was.
Is that the same as XP, where they had system restore, and you would find that under your by right clicking on my computer?
Yeah, on XP it didn't work so well. It worked, but 7 was a lot better at that, and 8 and 10 are getting still much better than what it used to be.
Okay. So roll back basically, and you can do it.
You can do it, having the proper steps in place. But if you don't, you know, your last resort would be to put a restore disk from the manufacturer and have it restore the entire system.
You know, I've never tried Windows 7, but everybody I've talked to who's used it says it's great.
Windows 7 is, I would say, fantastic.
So why get rid of it?
I haven't. Not on my laptop.
Ah!
And not on most of our clients' laptops.
Yeah. So how would I find that restore function?
In Windows 10.
When you boot your system up, depending on your OS and what's built into it, typically a Shift F8 or F8 will get you to that screen. Sometimes you have to do it in the BIOS, depending on which manufacturer you have.
You can't do it through Windows. You have to do it prior to Windows loading?
You have to do it prior to Windows loading. That's an option. But if you can get into Windows and be in Windows 10 completely, that will also give you access to it as well. But a lot of times when you have these problems, it doesn't even get into Windows.
Really? Rebecca, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here. We only have a minute or two left here. Cliff in Kingston, I'll give you about 30 seconds on this, okay?
All right. I got a BJC 6000 inkjet printer I've had since before I got this one. It's my Lenovo computer. When I got the new computer, I couldn't get the printer to, and the computer and the printer to talk to one another, so to speak.
Yeah.
And right now I'm shopping around for another printer. Can you give me a suggestion?
For an inkjet printer?
We
typically recommend HPs.
Yeah.
In the long run, the HPs tend to be a little better at the ink cartridge cost.
Oh, interesting.
Which is your highest cost overall. Uh-huh. But HPs and Epsons are the primary ones that we recommend.
All right, Cliff, we're out of time here, buddy, but thanks for the call. Tony Yang, an interesting program. It's kind of scary.
That is, it's been interesting today.
I'm going to be watching my phone very carefully. I'll tell you what, it's scary stuff. All right, what's your web address at GIG?
www.gigsystems.com.
All right, Tony Yang, thanks for being here. Support comes from Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat, holiday services, their religious school, cultural programs, and more. SaratogaSinai.org. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans. So our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Union College Concert Series, presenting the Orlando Consort. The British singers provide a 15th century soundtrack to the silent film The Passion of Joan of Arc, Thursday, October 15th, 7:30 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. At Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Thanks again to Tony Yang for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for all the great calls and email today. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Joe Makowitz, who's stepped in today and did a great job. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's another program. What is it? I don't know. We'll find out together. Stay tuned now for news.